The words of the third verse. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Let us just dwell for a few moments this evening on this new song. The song that I call the Song of the Redeemed. It is certainly appropriate for us to consider this text on a night in which we formally dedicate this new hymnal, Hymns of Grace and Glory. For from this hymnal comes many such songs of the redeemed. We're going to look at a couple other portions of Scripture as well in connection with this song. But let us just notice here in the 40th Psalm that this song of the redeemed is a new song, in that it teaches sinners what it is to praise God's saving power. The whole thrust of these opening verses in the 40th Psalm is the contrast between the condition in which the psalmist was and the condition in which he then became. He had been in a horrible pit. Here is the reality of sin's curse. He was in a place of miry clay. Literally, it was a pit of noise or a pit of roaring. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to be at a great waterfall. Some years ago, we were able to be at the Falls of Niagara. And when you're there, you can begin to comprehend something of this text, this pit of noise, this pit of roaring, because the noise of the water roaring over the cliffs there at the Falls of Niagara is so loud that you, when you're up next to it, you can hardly hear anything else except that noise. And here the sinner was in the pit of roaring. What was roaring in his ears? The din of this world's songs. The din of the devil's laughter. The din of his own lusts. All these things were roaring in his ears. It was a pit of miry clay. It was a pit like an abandoned cistern, such as that into which Jeremiah was put in prison. Without a solid bottom, just mire and muck in the bottom of the pit. And there is the picture of the sinner. He's in this pit of miry clay. He's sinking out of sight. That's the reality of sin's curse. But the psalmist says that God heard his cry from that pit and brought him up out of it. And that's the only way he could get out of it, was if God brought him out of it. And he set his feet not now on miry clay, but on a rock. He set his feet upon Christ and established his goings. And what was the evidence of that? He has put a new song in my mouth. Those who have been delivered from the pit of sin and who have had their feet placed upon the solid rock, who is Jesus Christ, they have a new song in their mouths. Now, that's not the new song that the world likes to talk about, which is just the old devil's song dressed up in different garb. This is the new song, the song such as those which we have been singing tonight, the song that lifts its voice in praise unto the one who has saved us from our sin. Why, if you've been saved from your sin, your mouth will be open, whether you think you have a pleasing voice or not. We were joking recently at the Minister's Week of Prayer that with the licensing of John Baker, we now have taken into our number another minister who can sing. They're still in a very, very distinct minority, but their numbers are growing. Now, I am part of the majority. But Mr. Baker can sing, and certainly is a wonderful thing to hear him and Mr. Fineout and even Mr. Wagner and Mr. Kimbrough to hear them sing. But what a wonderful thing it is that we don't have to be so gifted. We can sing because we have a new song given to us, a song that gives praise and honor to the Lord who saves us from our sin. May this hymnal be used over and over again for the lifting of that new song. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every time we sing out of this hymnal, there is a consciousness of giving praise to God for His saving power. But this song of the redeemed not only praises God's saving power, it does something else. It magnifies God's sweeping triumph. Let us turn over to Psalm 98. Psalm 98. And verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song. For He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. What does this psalm speak about? It speaks about the fact that the ungodly have stood in opposition to the work of God. The Lord, we read in verse 2, has showed His righteousness openly in the sight of the heathen. We read in verse 1 that His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The reference to the right hand is a reference to the hand of power and honor. It is the hand that is identified with the place of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But here we read of opposition. We read of the heathen who have stood against God. But in the face of that opposition, what do we find here? The revelation of the gospel. Against the opposition of the ungodly, we find the revelation of the gospel. For what has the Lord done? He has made known His salvation. He has made it known. This is a cause, the psalmist says, why we should sing unto the Lord a new song. Because the Lord has made known His salvation. Now, time forbids us this evening to explore all that is conveyed in such a statement as that. But you can begin to see the lines down which you could go with that statement. The Lord has made known His salvation. How has He made it known? He has made it known in the grace of His inspired Word. So that we may pick up this Word and we may read this Word and learn in this Word all that we need to know in order to be saved. In fact, it is written in such a way that the wayfaring man will not err therein. Even the simplest man can come to the Bible and can find in the Bible that which he needs to know of God's salvation. So when the ungodly have stood against God, when the ungodly have blasphemed God's name, when they have sought to despise His person, what has God done? He has revealed the gospel. He has made known His salvation. And what does that lead to? It leads to the confusion of all the enemies. For we read at the end of verse 3, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Has the opposition of the ungodly mattered? Has the devil's work stopped the work of God? Not in the slightest. This song of the redeemed then magnifies God's sweeping triumph. God is victorious! How the devil would seek to play upon us. How he would seek to bring us, as he brought David, no doubt, in the days of Absalom's rebellion, into a place of despair and discouragement. But here we find God has revealed his salvation. Not only has he revealed it, but he has revealed it in all the earth, so that those who have stood in opposition still have to face the reality that here is a people saved by the Lord. And that's a cause for singing. But then let me say, thirdly, that this song of the redeemed rejoices in Christ's far-reaching sacrifice. Let us turn to Revelation, the 5th chapter. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. 1,000,000 is 1,000,000. Think of what 10,000 ten thousands are. This is a huge throng. Saying with a loud voice, how could it be anything but that when there are so many? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. They sung a new song. What is that song? It's a song that rejoices in Christ's far-reaching sacrifice. Notice the worthiness of the Lamb declared. He is worthy to be praised. The worthiness of the Lamb. Why is he worthy? That's the weakness of the Lamb displayed. He was slain. That Lamb of God, like that Passover Lamb of the Old Testament, that little Lamb, tender, innocent, vulnerable, slain. That's the weakness of the Lamb displayed. But we also find here the wealth of the Lamb diversified. For we find that his sacrifice has such a reach that in this throng, singing in glory, are people from every kindred, from every tongue, from every people, from every nation. You know what that says to me? That says to me that the gospel of Christ triumphs. That the gospel of Christ doesn't succeed in the salvation of just a few. It triumphs. So that there are people from all countries, all racial groups, all ethnic groups, people from all these groups who are brought to heaven. Here is the far-reaching nature of Christ's sacrifice. It was the message of the apostles. It wasn't just for the sins of the Jews, not for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. For black and for white, for red and for yellow, for rich and for poor, for powerful and for weak. A far-reaching sacrifice and a new song sings praise to the Lamb on account of that sacrifice. He is worthy. He is worthy because in His weakness He was crucified. But through His weakness that was displayed in His death, He has amassed such great wealth that people from all races, nations, and generations will be gathered together. And can you imagine what it will be to hear them all singing, "Worthy is the Lamb"? Handel approximates it in some small way, I think, in that glorious chorus from his great oratorio, Messiah. "Worthy is the Lamb." What a thrilling thing it is to hear that. To hear that opening chord from the orchestra, and then to hear all the voices singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." But I can't help but think that that is just a small taste of what it will be when every voice shall be able to sing perfectly. What a wonderful thing. There'd be no one flat in heaven. No one sharp in heaven. Everybody on perfect pitch. All the parts working together beautifully. Probably be no need of a conductor either. It'll be a wonderful thing. But that is the song of those who are redeemed. Is that your song tonight? We have sung a few hymns from this new hymnal. We give God praise for it. But oh, to have those songs in our hearts. These are songs that I hope will be in your souls. I often catch myself with that last hymn we sang going through my mind. "Rejoice in the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us?" May the song of the redeemed be your song. May you praise God's saving power, magnify God's sweeping triumph, and rejoice in Christ's far-reaching sacrifice. And may you too come to be part of that great throng, billions of souls, billions and millions. That's as far as language can go to approximate the number. Billions of souls rejoicing in what God has done. May God bless His word and encourage us with it, even this night.